Your Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita that he has eternally established his own abode in the kingdom of God, where life is eternal from the bliss and knowledge. And that the living entity being part and parcel of God is also eternal. Furthermore, once having gone to that eternal of the God of the Lord, the living entity never returns to this temporary manifestation. One may therefore ask why the living entity and the Supreme Lord are stated to be no different from the material universe. The question is very nicely answered by Sri Narada Muni in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, chapter 20, verse. Idam hi Vishnum Bhagavan ivetaro yat jagat sthana virodha sambhavaha. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has His cosmic manifestation emanated, in Him it rests and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Coming on Narada's statement, wow, what a big pundits. Srila Prabhupada has very nicely explained this delicate philosophical for a pure devotee. The conception of Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are related parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and the branches of the tree are also tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor branches. The Vedic version is that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman, meaning that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs are called the body, but the body as the whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognizance, and beauty. And thus the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge and beautiful also. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus His supreme energies are always perfect and identical with Him. Both the spiritual and material skies and their paraphernalia are emanation of the internal and external energies of the Lord. External energies comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is the living force, whereas she is completely identical with the Lord. But the external energy, being inert, is partially identical. But both the energies are neither equal nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under His control, exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, always under control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are product of His internal energies. Thus, the living being is also identical with the Lord, but He is living, could also be due to the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has clearly explained here that both the cosmic manifestation and living entities are emanation from the Supreme Lord, as confirmed both in the Dhan Sutra and in the opening statement of Srila Bhaktam Janmadhyasthita. The absolute truth is in that form which everything emanates. Similarly, the Ishopanishad says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamadachate Purnasri Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, is Purna, or complete in Himself, and since the cosmic world is a manifestation of His potency, it is also appeared to be Purna. In other words, because this material world is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, it is not different from Him, exactly as the sun rays are not different from the sun globe, which is the source of His then emanation. Similarly, the living beings are the expansion of the superior conscious energy of the Supreme Lord and are also known different from Krishna. Although this non-difference is qualitative and not quantitative. The gold found in the golden ornaments, such as ring and bracelets, is qualitatively identical with gold in mind. But the gold in the mind is quantitatively far superior in time quantities of gold in bracelets or rings. Similarly, although we are qualitatively one with God, being spiritual emanation of His unlimited potency, we are quantitatively infinitesimal and eternally subordinate to His supreme power. Therefore, the Lord is called Vibhu or infinitely potent, and we are Anu or infinitely independent. This is further confirmed in the literature by the statement Nityam Nityanam Chetanam Chetanam Eva Bhavanam Vividha. Sutta Upanishad, second chapter, second verse. Second canto, second chapter, 13th verse. There are universal eternal living entities who are eternally and totally dependent upon the supreme singular living entity, the Supreme Lord. That dependence is not an illusion created by material existence, as stated in the impersonalist philosophers, but is an eternal relationship in which the Lord is eternally superior and we are eternally inferior. The Lord is eternally independent and we are eternally dependent. The Lord is eternally absolute in Himself and we are eternally relative to His Supreme Personality. Although the Lord is infinitely greater than any other living being or than all of them combined, every living being is qualitatively no different from the Lord, because all the living beings are parts and parcel emanating from Him. Therefore, in one sense, the living entity is also not different from the material cosmic manifestation, which is inferior, sister energy of the Lord. Both the living entity and the material nature are prakriti or feminine, dependent expansions of the Supreme Purusha. The deeper aspect is that the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord, because the living entity is conscious and eternally like the Lord, whereas material energy is inferior energy of the Lord, lacking consciousness and eternal form. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized in this regard that the absolute substance is one and is called Paramatma or the Super Soul. When one has achieved but a partial vision of the Paramatma, one's understanding of life is called Atma Darshan or Self-Realization. And when even his partial understanding is lacking, one's existential condition is called Anatma Darshan or ignorance of the self. In the state of partial realization of the Super Soul, without recognition of the Paramatma's distinction from the individual soul, the living entity tends to become puffed up by his spiritual advancement, to be carried away by the mental concoction, and consider himself equal to the immortal spirit of God. On the other hand, the living entity situated in Anatma Darshan or material ignorance feels that he is completely dependent upon, different from, the Supreme Lord. And since everyone in this particular world is interested in himself, the living entity forgets about God, thinking that God is completely different from him, and that there is therefore no substantial relationship between him and God. In this way, the impersonal transcendentalists emphasize only the oneness between the God and the living entity, whereas the ordinary materialists overemphasize the difference between God and living entity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly revealed that the ultimate truth is simultaneous oneness and difference. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Actually, we are eternally different from God, because the living entity and God are eternally separate individual entities. There exists the possibility of the eternal relationship, and because every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, that relationship constitutes the essence of the ultimate reality for living every living being. As stated in Chaitanya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chapter 108, verse, Jivera Surupa Ho Krishna Nidhira. The ultimate entity, essential identity of every living entity is his relationship with the the Supreme Lord as a servant of God.
So,
if one can understand that he is generally servant of the Supreme Lord, that God and we can correctly understand both the living entity and unbelieving universe are identical with Krishna, being emanation from him, then they are therefore no different from each other. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has stated, material world is a manifestation of simultaneous difference and non-difference. And it is a form of Supreme Lord. Thus the temporary, perishable and ever-changing material world is different from Vaikuntha, the eternal world. It should be noted that in this verse the word sat-sat-akam, or made up of gross and subtle objects, does not refer to material and spiritual objects. This universe is stated to be composed of sat and asat, gross and subtle material objects. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the very subtle state within the manifested world is known as the unmanifest, and the realm beyond the manifest world is called the transcendent force. Within the covering of surroundings, the manifest in the region of the time vector is the phase of material existence experienced by the controlling beings. In this phase exist the two functions, cause, that is asat, and effect. In the universe, which is the third tattva or reality, apart from and containing both sat and asat, and which is the form of the law, it is impossible to produce any contradiction to the non-dual absolute truth. In other words, although ignorant materialistic scientists may zealously carry out research to find material principle that can negate or render unnecessary existence of God, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati clearly states that since the universe is an emanation from the Lord and therefore spiritually identical with him, there cannot possibly exist anywhere within this universe a material law, principle or phenomenon that in any way contradicts the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of God. In fact, the entire universe along with the spiritual sky exists as eternal testimony to the unlimited glory of the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna. With this understanding, the nine yogendras were traveling about the earth in transcendental bliss. Om Jnana Viranasya Jnana Jnana Shraya Kakshavakritam Yena Dasmi Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sarnam Yena Bhupadeshman Rupa Padam Yem Dadati Swapadam Pidam Vande Yam Sri Guru Vashita Padam Vam Sri Guru Vishnavasya Sri Rupam Sarnakatam Sarnaramatam Tantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvabhutam Parijana Sanitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvana Gagata Sri Vishakhanam Sri Te Krishna Karuna Siddho Dina Bandho Jagat Te Kupish Kupika Kanta Radha Kanta Musti Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Sri Krishna Musti Devi Pranami Sri Anjali Vancha Kalpatrupyascha Vipasindhu Devi Shavatita Nampavani Vyo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, what a beloved thought. Just for one word, Atmano Bhavyatikena, Atmavyatikena, Pashyantu. This phrase has been explained in such a detail by the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Bhakti Siddhanta Sankar, and Jiva Goswami from Kaya. But it is very clear and distinct. Otherwise, this particular phrase can be interpreted in so many ways. But because it's the glory of the Sampradaya and the disciplic succession, then we have to protect our understanding. Right? So, how is it simultaneously understood that these sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects? as manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the Self. The basic fundamental situation that was clear up, then qualitative oneness between Self and Super Self is there. So whatever the Super Self is producing, right? Whatever the Super Self is producing, there is identical situation that can be applied to the Self. Because qualitative oneness is there. Quantitative oneness is not there. But because of these qualities, we find several experiential situations within our own life. First of all, when in the process of purification, by the holy name, means taking the spiritual energy of the Lord, even the body of the practitioner becomes spiritualized. Even if the body is there. So how to understand this? The body is made up of gross elements. Krishna says that these are my separate energies. These energies are separate. But the living entity is also separated from him. That is vibhinna. Bhinna and vibhinna. Both are different. But simultaneously they are one in the Supreme Spirituality because it's the origin. So it is simultaneously oneness and difference is there. It is simultaneously existing. But those who are realized souls, whose bodies are also becoming spiritualized. So secondly, this body is acting like a mechanical body, a material body. But nonetheless, the infusion of the divine energy, the spiritual energy, can make wonders. So, the conscious living entity, like the nine yogendras, they are described that they don't see any difference between material and spiritual. Everything is spiritual in that observation. For a devotee, an advanced devotee, there is no difference between material and spiritual. Prabhupada says so many times. So simultaneously oneness is there. But the origin for Krishna, this material world is created for some time and I am sustained for some time and annihilated. And it is within his realm, not apart from him. Within his own existence, because everything is him. And nothing can exist away from him. Sarvavidam kalvavram vasudevam sarvamiti. How do we realize this sarvamiti? So, all the spiritual expansions of Lord Krishna, meant the Paramatma or Brahman, Krishna reserves the right to be in Guru Vrindavan, and that abode nobody returns from. But from the Brahman portion, both the living entity and the gross material elements emerge. Both are coming from the same source. One is a conscious atom, another is unconscious. That's how the difference. Otherwise, you know, there is no distinction. So, that's why it is possible to become simultaneously one and different existence. Now, this difference is very predominantly existing in a materialist. Those who are too much absorbed to which absorb any sense gratification. How about ignorance? Vyavasahyaka buddhi ekeh guru nandana bahusha kayanam tascha buddhayo avyavasahinam. The resolute determination of bhakti. That determination is one. It is harmonious. Just like we use the paraphernalia which are material in nature in service of Krishna, but we are advised to worship the paraphernalia more than the deity. Why? Because the spiritual vision, it is simultaneously one and different. So a devotee who wants to go back home back to Godhead is not imagining, but considering with full deliberation that these are the eternal paraphernalia of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan also. All the processes of bhakti that we try to acquire here and come to the resolute determination of ananya bhakti means only to the Lord Shri Krishna, that leads us to Goloka Vrindavan, where one does not necessarily return. When Krishna descends to material world, he also brings his Goloka Vrindavan. And when he returns, he takes away. And dharma also, gyan also, which is identical as the spiritual. Even the imparting of the gyan for executing of dharma may be involved in physical activities. So, for self-realized souls, the situation is that here explained that atmano avyatirekena, the self is non-different and seen pashyanta. Always keep themselves on their high spirit that there is nothing different. All the material objects are also spiritual objects and they are in utilization of Krishna's service. So, everything has to be respected. Everything has to be respected. Many times we hear Srila Prabhupada's behavior also. Prabhupada was going on a morning walk in New York in early days to Thompson Square Park, and on Sunday the New York City streets are like hellish because a lot of litter garbage is thrown around and an unclean, stinky place for the whole weekend. People have abused in sense gratification. So when we were called Prabhupada, this is hellish. And Prabhupada told, maybe for you, not for me, it's hellish. Prabhupada's vision is very, very uniform. Hellish condition is considered to be very conducive for devotional service. That's Prabhupada's attitude. Why to complain? Everything is existing simultaneously, one and difference is there. So, the idea is that the development of the spiritual vision in the most exalted liberated state there, here all the nine yogendras are said to be wandering with this non-different attitude from Lord Krishna's external energy, internal energy. Actually, everything is internal for him. Nothing is external. Prabhupada said many times that the vision of a realized soul is everything is spiritual. There is no distinction existing between material and spiritual. It's only in the new higher self.
just stop complaining. Complaint comes with the difference of opinion, difference in the mind. This is good. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also it is saying, Dvaite Bhadra Abhadra Sakali Samana Yai Bhava Yai Mani Sat Mani. Dvaite is in duality. Duality exists when opposites are existing. So this whole material cosmic manifestation is dvaita. You distinguish, this is spiritual, this is material. Right? Fine, it is up to certain stage. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is a sakala samana. Both are same. Good, bad, both are same. Because the vision is beyond the three modes of material nature. And that is a reality, and existence in reality is there, which is three times bigger than this material. So why to complain for an insignificant portion for those neophytes that do not? But because it is embedded within the Lord's entirety, this creation is for some time, alright? It is to make understand that this is not the place for a gentleman, one who has realized his eternity, his own qualitativeness similar to Lord Krishna, then why he should complain about this so-called jain. He becomes very obedient and never displeasing the jailer, so he can be easily get out from the clutches and be on parole. So the development of the devotees is that can set free from the jinn. So dvaite bhadra abhadra, what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, sakalisama, everything takes equal. Yai bhava, this is good. Yai man, this is bad. Sab manodha, that is only mental concoction. Because the mind is attached, so mind has to be free from the duality of existence. Then he can go cross. Even the demigods are entangled in this bhadra abhadra. But beyond parastasmatu bhavo niyam vyakta vyakta sanatana, there is another nature which is beyond manifest and unmanifest. And this manifestation, unmanifestation, is only in the material world. So this temporary manifested and unmanifested nature can come to an end, but the other nature, transcendental nature, is therefore eternal. So inferior energy, superior energy, marginal energy is always dependent, and superior energy is also conducting both marginal energy as well as inferior energy. So all these energies are there. So when one realizes, one becomes totally embedded and enveloped in superior energy, in spiritual energy, right? So he is also simultaneously encompassing both marginal energy and inferior energy. This is the vision of the liberated people. that they don't distinguish between jar and chetan, conscious and unconscious. So for example, the Uttama Adhikari, his vision is that he sees the deity, he sees the devotee, he also sees the non-devotees. And then he doesn't make any distinction. So, sat and asat, manifestations, are there. But the sat portion can give rise to the eternal existence in going down. Sat sada, tam, sat and asat. Now, on the onset of creation, when all the living entities from Brahma Jyoti were transported through the glass of Mahavishnu and embedded into the manifesting Pradhana Prakriti, covered them with the three modes of material nature. Alright? Ignorance covered them first and created false ego. Then the combination of the three modes of material nature developed the earthly elements from subtle to gross. Tejo, Vayu, Pranam, Tha, Vinimayo, Sarva, Purusha. Even the demigods are bewildered that how is it possible to generate solid earth from water? But it came from water. Because earthly elements are soluble in the water. Take a drop of water and let it evaporate, and you'll see some spot remaining behind it. What is this? That is all substances. So that constitute the earth element in the water. The water came from fire. So people do not understand how the transformations from one energy to another energy is happening. They are bewildered. Even demigods are bewildered. But Krishna is not bewildered. So those who are trying to take shelter of Lord Krishna, they get the vision of Lord Krishna too. So they will not be bewildered. So they will see everything that simultaneously the same vision belongs to them. Like Krishna. So they are called Atmano Avyatidekena. They will see themselves non-different. They don't have a different identity. They have the absolute identity, of course, subservient to the Supreme Personality of God. These nine yogendras were so free that they were roaming the whole earth. There is no difference between the soul and the body. A pure devotee passes away, why do we put him in the salt and make a samadhi? Why? Because the first consideration is that his body is also spiritual. And those who are actively engaged in karmic activity, not free from the material conception of life, their bodies are supposed to be burned to ashes. That he could not burn his karma, right? But the karma is through the body, so let's burn the body. Right? And those who are totally ignorant, they may bury him in the ground and let the worms and unintelligent entities eat them up. After all, it's a food. Why to waste? And people who are
pain for this buried nature is more ignorant disposal of the body, but then they are very attached to their so-called position and glory in the society. Here lies somebody in Italy. The skull is still there, you know, rotten flesh is still there. So it's not a sign of liberation. Ignorance does not allow anybody to liberate. But the process is very powerful. The Parsis, the Zoroastrians, keep the body hanging so the vultures will come and eat them. That's another. But the Vedic sanskara and deity dictates that this body must be burned. Because the karma, the subtleties of the attachment, they have to be burned. And so, seeing the burning body, he has to be taught the purifying nature. So don't get attached to the body. Get out, get under the body. Like that. Sometimes on the funeral pyre, the body rises and then take a stick and push it back in the fire. It's not that it has life, but it is the attachment. Too much gross attachment. So it has to be burnt. And those people are not merciful that they will save him from the fire, because he won't survive. Better push him. Getting off. Anyway, the idea is that when the duality is still existing, then there is no chance to become fully liberated. Who doesn't get that chance? The Bhogeshwari Prasattana Taya Pratachetasa Vyavasaya Gaputti Samadhana Vidyate. Those who are engrossed in sense-giving life, they become prasakta, meditate. So, even however they are trying to keep their balance, but they will never get the inclination for their resolute determination. They will never get. Therefore, it has to be stopped. The training is very pertinent. Four regulative principles are sensitive principles. They must be avoided. So, anyway, the whole purport is described in a very, very scholarly way, references to all the four great personalities in our line of disciplic succession has said in order that Mayavadis may misuse and look. He's God. These nine Yogendras were God. Somebody may say, no, but this is the state of realization, you know, and it only comes after reaching to the Paramahamsa state. Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the relishment of the Paramahamsas. Sahita Paramahamsas. This is the Sahita compilation that pleases the Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas means the supreme position of swan. A swan is known by its ability to separate milk from water. If you give a mixture of milk and water, the swan will only take the milk part and throw away the water part. That ability is in swan. So nirakshira viveka, the deliberation between nir means water and kshira means milk. So these paramahansas, they are in the supreme stage of deliberation. And they become totally absorbed in the spiritual aspect. They are always in connection with the spirituality. Therefore, their entire configuration becomes spiritual. It doesn't have any body or material conception. When somebody is electrocuted, why he is also becoming a good conductor to electrocute somebody? Because the infusion of the divine energy like that, you know, one becomes liberated and fills his one with manifested and unmanifested even material. It doesn't mean he has created. His position is nitya, means eternal. An eternal individual, however insignificant he may be, but he is eternally an individual. He cannot become diffused or dissolved or annihilated. Nitya position. So it's ever. This definition of the Absolute Truth given in the invocation of Ishopanishad Mantra Om Purnamada 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 Chate Purnasti Purnamada Purnameva Vishishade. The Supreme Lord is Absolute Truth, is Purna, or completed in Himself. And everything that is emanating is also appearing. It's pure, complete, and perfect. And because they are appearing within Him, you know, however separate units will be pure units will be formed. Because they are contained in Him, therefore He remains always pure. He doesn't change His shape. So, the expansions are within, not without. In our material state, we always have this distinction of I have material body and a spirit soul, but I cannot reach to God because He is somewhere else in Goloka Vrindavan. So we anticipate Goloka Vrindavan to be in another realm away from us. But this distance is in the brain. This distance is within our imagination. How to reduce this distance? It's by the process of bhakti. When the soul and super soul are in connection, all the distances will be reduced. Gross materialists are not seeing the distance, but they also further make them a total center than the Lord. And because their senses do not perceive the supremacy of the supremacy and Godhead, they think we are the Lord and the Master. Somebody has to at least take the leadership or ownership. If this land is vacant, go occupy it. I'm the owner. He didn't create it. Neither he has been allotted by somebody. He grabs it. Somebody is trying to grab by giving little money. Somebody is trying to get everything which has not been done through his own energy. At least it's totally cheating. So gross materialists are not having that conception that somehow or other I'm a thief. They never think I'm a thief. Everybody does. But then when they are led to realize something and their capacity, then they start making distinction that, okay, I should not cheat, I should not lie. But the Paramahansa's state is seeing everything is within him and without him. Just try to accept the vision of the Lord and he will see no different. But because he is part and parcel, he is simultaneously in subordinate or subservient position. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivira Surupova Krishna Nityadas Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Abheda Prakash. Tatastha Shakti is the Jiva. Jiva is part and parcel. But because he is confined in the unrealized state, where we distinguish between the gross material and certain spiritual natures, he is confronting that. You know, he is still looking into the state of duality. But this dual state will be overpowered by chanting process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And because it's very potent, spiritually infused process, it takes over the every status of existence, between subtle, gross, even in the mental conceptions. And that distance will be closed. There is no distinction. He will see him nonetheless part and parcel, but his quality to be one. And quantitative difference is his eternal position. He is very insignificant, but his awareness is all in the past. He doesn't see any distinction. Just like Lord Krishna says that I have created this material world, but I am not in it. I will send my influence to meet him. Or I will send my localizers, representations for now. But I will stay in my Guru Vrindavan. So, in this way, he expands. But limited, he cannot expand himself. In the material world, he imitates and he creates his own empire by expanding. Striyogam saan vethuni bhavo vedat tayorahu radaya granthis ata grimkshetra atta suttai janasimo hoyam aham bhavethi. These are these empire expansions that you can but they are all coming under the grip of temporary time cycle. And of course time is eternal, but the creation, sustenance and dissolution, they are very temporary states. creation of the material manifestation is not. But material manifestation is made up of all the data particles. Sometimes I try to express that a person who is in gross sense gratification activities, he has no inclination for thinking about Krishna or any iota of understanding the divine nature. Isn't it as dead as particle of matter? He associates with matter and he thus becomes material. His conception will become material. He is overpowered. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is called Atma. The conscious particle thus becomes a dead particle in association with the matter. And these dead particles are also the are also originated in Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti consists of these two sets of particles, Chitkam and Achitkam. So, as long as those distinctions are remaining, then there is always material and spiritual duality existence. And within the material world, there are material dualities. They will proliferate like anything. Even slightest misunderstanding will create a media war because of its dual nature. Sometimes people say, I didn't mean to say like that, but so there is a dual meaning is there. And so many words have multiple meanings, which are totally dual in nature. Only in Sanskrit, because it was originated, it was meant only for in relationship to the Supreme Lord. But the impersonalists, Mayavadis, they also make a meaning out of it, which are not concentrated to the Supreme Lord. So, in this way we can see who has an intention to take the direct meaning of the Lord's saying. It should be in his form. Only the devotees. And then the cultivation of the devotees by devotional service, then they will be able to come to that point. The rules and regulations of interpreting the Vedic literature is also based on that. A devotee can best serve to give the meaning as it is rather than So, Srila Prabhupada is protecting us in order to get the best benefit for spiritual realization and reach to the state of Paramahansa. So, this nine yogendras, having these particular characteristics, that they came to the conclusion that there is no difference between them and the created energy. They were indifferent. They were non-different, and therefore they cultivated vision of indifference. So anybody has any questions? It's a huge topic.
So the duality only exists because we have the desire to enjoy.
That's correct.
Otherwise there's no duality.
No. Absolute is non-dual substance. It's called non-dual. Vadanti tattva vidastattvam yad jnanam advayam. Advayam means non-dual. Advaita, no dvaita, no truth, is advaita. Yes.
So, in relationship to our relationships with devotees, if we stop seeing other devotees for our sense pleasures, then we become non-different to them as friends or enemies, so we will lose that duality in our vision as well.
Definitely, the vision will dissolve all the distinctions.
So once you start seeing devotees as just devotees without trying to use them for any kind of purpose, will you be able to see the spirit soul in them at that stage?
Right, and these are the stages of devotion, and the devotees are categorized according to this vision. A neophyte devotee, he sees only Krishna, you know, and whatever conception he has, he doesn't care to meet with the devotees or hear from them, associate with them. No. Those who are self-centered only to the deity and they try to relate whatever their feelings are alone, whether it is in correct way, spiritual way or material way, generally they convey their sentiments which are material in nature. There are no spiritual sentiments expressed by them. But the Madhyamadhikari, the advanced devotee, is seeing the Lord as well as he associates with the devotees, and he tries to accumulate or assimilate the transcendental knowledge, you know, and try to practice to realize more and more. That is the second class. So he is advanced, so he can teach to the neophytes. Generally, the gurus are supposed to come from this middle class, but Uttamadhikari means he doesn't see any difference between the deity, the devotee, as well as non-devotees. So you can see the distinctions are getting dissolved more and more as one advances. So at such a level as Paramahamsas, even those who are, say, sannyasis, Paramahamsa is the fourth stage. That he is totally in the transcendental realm. Otherwise, he is supposed to rise gradually. That in the beginning of sannyasa state, which is called Bahudak state, he simply disassociates with his family members, stays only within the town, but outskirts of the town. But he is being fed by his family members. But then he gives up that. So, that is, first stage is called Kutichak. Now comes the Bhaktar stage, that he extends his hand, means making bow. So he goes within the town, Kurbaldar. He makes for Prasadam within the town's people, but he stops eating from the home. Then the third stage, he leaves the town and he goes up, becoming Parivrajakacharya. And last stage is Paramahamsa. Parivrajakacharya is supposed to travel, but in Paramahamsa state, they are also traveling, but in the consciousness of that complete indifference. Some of the stages in Paramahamsa is also called Avadhuta, and some other stages are there. You know, that they are completely aloof from the body conception of life. Not only that, there is indifference, no distinction in their vision. So there are different categories everywhere.
Maharaj, you were telling something about the origin of false ego. So what does it mean? Where false ego comes from?
False ego is moral ignorance covering up the soul. He thinks he's somebody. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smashes our false ego. Think you are no Pranada Pishanichi, Taroga Pishanichi, Amani Mahaprabhu Kirtani. When you become Amani, means your false ego is gone.
If you want to make yourself as a distinguished from others, then false ego.
Do we have to worship Lord Shiva? Do we have to worship Lord Shiva?
Not worship, but follow what he does. Don't have a home. Lord Shiva doesn't have a home. Go to crematorium.
Chant Hare Krishna there.
He's trying so much, but yet people are after him. But that Shambhu, the embodiments of the false ego, that is Shiva Linga, in the form of the Linga. So the false ego dictates everyone. Okay, I have the urge to become father or mother, even though we have no capacity to deliver our dependent. Therefore, Bhagavatam is telling you now, forget it, don't think.
You mentioned about the Vaishnava inside the Samadhi, the pure ego. Simultaneously exists, one spirit soul simultaneously exists in the material world.
Ramanuja's body was preserved and mummified. It is still there. Because these bodies are worshipable. Everywhere there may not be knowing the know-how how to preserve the body. But Ramanujacharya's body is preserved and mummified and still exists. When you think of Naranarayan, they are still existing and performing tapascharya for the welfare of the entire universe. That direct incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. They expanded as Lord Krishna and Arjuna, some of these. But the eternal function is there. Krishna ordered it. In any case, how long one can preserve? That's another thing. But at what extent can we understand that these bodies are spiritual, that created wonders? That's inspiration, and that is a very process of infuse the devotional service. Now consider the mummies of Egyptian pyramids. What are they? They think that the dynasty was glorious. So even though an infant can be mummified, they had the practice. And do you know who took this process of mummification? The South Indians, who encouraged them to build the pyramids and preserve in such a hot weather. So the process is there, but people use for their glorious dynasty, the king and everything. They think this is the civilization. Civilization is based on spiritual process, not material process. Because the West is more materialistic, they accept the Egyptian civilization to be holy. there are no anatta of the spiritual civilization that built up in Bharatavarsha.
You were telling that when the spirit soul is in ignorance, it can sink into matter, I mean, light matter. So, you know, sometimes we hear that somebody has become a stone.
Of course. Have you seen the, petrified forest? In the state of Arizona, in the United States, the north of Arizona, the whole forest became stone, and you can still have the old rings and everything about the stone, but it is petrified in stone. Petrification. So, and so many things can be petrified. We look to some spiritual connection then. How the whole forest became petrified. It's called petrification. But putrefaction is decomposed. Don't misunderstand. It's petrification. And people who travel there, the tourists collect these artifacts and see that it's petrified. It's a tree. A whole tree can be petrified. Oil becomes forest. Stone forest, but they are trees. So there's nothing impossible who can become stone-like.
In the beginning, you were talking about being assisted for profanity. We give more respect to the profanity of worship than to the deity of the assisting process.
Yes, the paraphernalia generally means the devotees. But we extend our feeling that whatever comes in use of the worship of the Lord, they are no different from the Lord. So, whether he's a living medium of service or dead medium of service, what is the difference? A pujari's body is supposed to be kept clean, right? He has to bathe 3 times. He has to chant his Gayatri. He has to cultivate the vision of Paramatma, not only in the deity but also in all the devotees. Otherwise, his puja is a failure. So, at what extent then one has to worship to fructify the real worship? He has to respect every kind of devotee that comes and show indifference. That was the means of salvation in Dwapara Yuga. Realization of Paramatma through the deity worship, the major aspect. If we extend anything that comes in the service, like Mrudanga, Harmonium, Karta, we don't want to let them sit on the floor, pick up and put on the high level. Right? So it's a very good practice to cultivate that vision of identity with the spiritual. Mala. Japa mala. Why do you say for an introspective devotee, he has to hide four things within his heart? Why do you say that he has to hide his mantra, his guru, his japamala, and the ishtadeva? Four things. Keep it within his heart. Because these are the most worshipable thing for him. And he can progress fast in spiritual realization. So one is a serious devotee, then he must hide four things. Means he will be well behaved. No hanky-panky.
No.
And most ideal character is coming out by taking this devotional action. It's not simply, I have a good mind. I took initiation, that's it. One in the wind. Yeah? It's not wind. You'll be very afraid as long as you have extrospective. You want to nurture your anarthas. Just declare Guru is to be holy, my Guru, Jagat Guru. No. Let them hear too much speaking, but he will be hiding the Guru. He will nurture his anarthas. That is an external Guru. He will push his guru. Go to hell. I don't care about it. I'll maintain my position. So, the guru is in trouble because having such a disciple. Devotees, and they said, Prabhupada, I cannot chant. Said, well, where is the determination? Why did you promise in front of the devotee, deity, and Pajaki? If you are not determined, what is the necessity to take initiation? Where is the determination? If you are not determined, don't take. Don't try to hide me. And Guru should not be leaving him. Rather, let him get cut with this vision and then he'll become serious. It's the beginning. The beginning is done with determination. If there is no determination, okay. So the path is very strict, but at the same time sublime. It doesn't keep you waiting for not enjoying the material result of your spiritual development. You'll be more and more enthused, not discouraged. Pratyaksha man dharmyam susukham karma. It's happening right before our eyes. but follow very strictly. Avakarma. Karma bhavate. You will accumulate the results which are inexhaustible. Susukham. Very happy. All right, let's have happiness and have it prasadam. Prabhupada ki jai.